There are approximately 6,000 homeless men, women, and children in the Philadelphia area. Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission strives to feed, clothe, and shelter every member of the homeless community that steps through our doors. At Sunday Breakfast, we serve 3 healthy meals a day on every day of the year. An average of 600 meals are served daily. With your help, Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission will continue to ensure that no one goes hungry in Philadelphia. You can help by hosting a food drive, donating, or volunteering today. It only costs $1.95 to feed one person. Please help Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission feed the homeless today. To make your gift or learn more, visit sundaybreakfast.org or text the word THANKS to 41444. That's text THANKS to 41444. Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission. Provide a meal. Give hope. Change a life.
Homeworks Premium Thrift is a shopping experience unlike any other. Browse our 12,000 square foot store for gently used selection of clothing, shoes, books, kitchenware, home decor, furniture, appliances, and more. We offer free pickup of large loads and large items such as furniture and appliances. We are located in Douglasville on Route 422, and we are open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 6, Saturday, 9:30 to 4:30, and closed on Sunday. Visit us at homeworkspremiumthrift.org. Like us on Facebook. We hope you'll stop in and check us out. You'll be glad you did. We help you help others.
Your furry family members matter, too.
Hi, we're Gordon and Sue Kriebel, owners of Perk Valley Pet Eatery, a family-owned business located on Main Street in the Trap Shopping Center. It's a family experience at Perk Valley Pet Eatery, one you won't get at chain and grocery stores. You'll find a distinct difference at Perk Valley Pet Eatery, a difference in quality and in our natural approach to your pet's care. You may not be aware of better options for your pets. So come in and discuss your pet's nutritional needs and health. Our knowledgeable hands-on staff will be happy to help you learn what's best. We've been your leaders in pioneering pet nutrition and part of our community since 2003. Come out and support our local family-owned business. We'd love to meet you and your pets.
You're the God of this.
Hope Rescue Mission is a sponsor of Your Family Matters. For 121 years, Hope Rescue Mission, located at 645 North 6th Street in Reading, has provided a daily safe haven while ministering to the spiritual, physical, and emotional needs of the homeless in Berks County. We share the hope that can only be found in Christ, transforming the lives of those in need. Our programs feed, house, clothe, and guide men so that they experience a better quality of life. Over 10,000 square feet of thrift stores are located directly behind the mission, which is open on Mondays through Fridays from 8 to 5 and Saturdays from 8 to 4. We invite you to stop by and shop our large selection of gently used furniture, clothing, and homeless items as you support Hope. We're pleased to accept your donations of any of these items. Contact us at 610-375-4224 to arrange for a pickup at your home or business. Since the cost needed to operate and care for these men continues to grow, your support and continuing partnerships are so greatly appreciated. We receive no outside or government funding as we strive with the Lord's guidance and direction to restore those who seek our help to lead upright and productive lives. Please keep Hope Rescue Mission in your thoughts and prayers as we serve those in need. Again, thank you, Hope Rescue Mission, for being a sponsor of Your Family Matters.
When you're in the Lehigh Valley, you're welcome to worship with us at Calvary Baptist Church, 5300 Green Pond Road in Easton, Pennsylvania. Our worship services are each Sunday at 8:45 and 10:20. We seek to be a church that practices the ABCs of the Christian faith. A, we try to appeal to all ages of people. B, be Bible-based in our preaching and teaching ministry. And C, be Christ-centered in all our ministries. God bless you and have a great day.
That was Pastor Larry Bird. Check out his website at calvarybaptistpa.org.
This is Your Family Matters with Carla DeDessi.
Good morning. This is Carla DeDessi here at Your Family Matters, 1180 WFYL here in the Philadelphia area. Thank you for joining me this Friday morning and every Friday morning. Remember, go to 1180 WFYL and listen to my past podcasts. Please share them and go to carladedessi.com to connect with me. I hope that you have a wonderful Friday. This morning, we're going to be talking about our families being a light in our community. The Bible uses the word to describe Christians and Jesus Christ as the light or lights over 270 times, depending on what version of the Bible you're using, if it's New King James Version or the NIV or the Message. But they use this word light many, many times in the Bible. And we are called to be a light in our world. Psalm 119, 105 says this, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." This is one of my favorite songs about that verse.
"Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I feel afraid and think I've lost my way, still you're there right beside me. Nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near me."
Such a beautiful song. I encourage you to listen to Thy Word on your own time. Teach it to your children. It is a Bible verse. But why do you think that King David, the psalmist, chose to say that God's Word is like a light? It is a light unto our path. It guides our way. Think about when you're walking at night and it's very dark. It's difficult, isn't it? We might stumble. We might fall. We might get lost. This is why the psalmist said in the Old Testament that God's word is a light. We will not stumble if we are using God's word. It will keep us on the straight and narrow path. Let's look at what Webster's Dictionary has to say about light and its definition. Light is a natural agent that stimulates sight and makes things visible. For example, think about the sun, a source of illumination, like a street light. We have words with light in them like enlightenment, which means to understand a problem or a mystery. Think about the word highlight, which means to make bold or stand out or point something out. It's a bright spot in your reading material. Light is a very positive thing. Historically, the sun allows us to be very purposeful during the day, and firelight or the moon and stars allows visibility and safety at night. Did you know that in the 18th century, with the invention of street lights, lamplighters were needed to turn on the candles or gas in the street lamps each night? This is where we get the term lamplighters for many of our Christian nonprofits and ministries. They carried their ladders and their matches around to light each street light. The lamp lighters were more than just the people who lit the lamps, however. Did you know that they were also night watchmen? These men were chosen very careful for their jobs. They had to be trustworthy. They had to be good men, noble fathers, great husbands if they were married. Often the lamplighter would pass down their job to their children and to their grandchildren, which reminds me of lighthouse family legacies. Lamplighter families are very similar to the lighthouse family legacy.
These family brought reassurance and safety to their community. It was their duty. God's word, in the same way, acts as a lamp lighter to its people. It reassures our feet and it brings safety to our path. Think about light. It also acts to protect us, especially at night. Think about walking on a moonless or a starless night. It's so difficult and dangerous. Often we stumble, we fall without the help of light on our path at night. I think of the lighthouses, which protect ships at night or during storms and guide boats to safe land. Light guides our way, just like God guided the wise men to baby Jesus with the bright star shining over Bethlehem. God's word guides our decisions and our choices so that we choose goodness over evil. Finally, light destroys fear. Light allows us to see our path. It enables us to observe obstacles or frightening things. It allows us to understand our way. Again, recall, envision yourself walking through the woods or anywhere for that matter when there is a moonless or starless night. It is so difficult. Strange noises. We might feel strange things on our faces. It's so uncomfortable. Why would we want to go through anything without having a light? And God's light, God's word, can provide that illumination for all of us. So please use God's word in your family's life as a flashlight to shed light on the decisions that you are making and the path that you are walking with your family. Because we all want to live freely from fear. So light is used as a great analogy for God's word. Light and God's word protects us. Now, let's look and see what the Bible has to say about Jesus being our light. So let's talk about John 1, 1 through 5, which says this about Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Listen to me. Darkness cannot comprehend the light. It doesn't understand the light. There's other Bible references that says darkness hates the light. So the big question mark for those living in darkness is, why are you doing that? Don't you want to walk freely in the path of light? Choose light. You will also notice that it says light shines in the darkness. It is in the present tense. Light can never, ever be conquered. It keeps on shining presently. Think about it. The darkness always will attempt to overcome the light, but it is always going to be unsuccessful. Think about the darkness in your home. You can always flip a switch and the light will go on, or you can put a match or a candle to shed some light on the situation or in your home, in your environment. Darkness cannot snuff that light out, but light indeed can conquer that darkness. God gives us spiritual illumination. He gives us light and truth. Jesus Christ is that light, just as St. John says in the New Testament. And then let's look again, another example of Jesus Christ being the light of the world. In John 3, 17 to 21, and I'll even recite John 3, 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Whoever believes in him, whoever, it doesn't matter who you are, you can have the free gift of eternal life and grace. And then 17 says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world. That is Jesus. He has come into the world. But men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Think about it. Cain and Abel. Think about the story of the men who were building the Tower of Babel. They were prideful. Think about Daniel being thrown into the lion's den. Think about the wickedness of the world when Noah was chosen to build an ark. The world has been wicked, and people have chosen evil from the beginning of time. This is nothing new to the 21st century. But be of good cheer and be excited and be victorious, because light will win. Everyone who does evil hates the light, it says in John 3, verse 20, and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. Think about that verse. The Bible says that people who are doing evil and wickedness do these things in the dark because they are fearful that they're going to be exposed. Think about when people murder, rape, robber. Usually it is in the evening, dark hours, they do not want to be exposed. Or even when people are viewing pornography, or even when we are telling secrets, we know that it is wrong. We want to do these things in the darkness. We do not want to shed light on these ugly, ugly areas. And then verse 21 is so exciting, where John says, but whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. Remember, we can do all things through Jesus Christ, who strengthens us. And that includes walking in the light the way that Jesus Christ did when he was on this earth for 33 years, about 2,000 years ago. John 1:5 also says, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Again, that's Jesus Christ. He shone in the darkness. Many of us did receive him and accept his plan of salvation willingly and obediently, but there are many who still refuse and will not accept that light. They want to stay in the darkness. In John 8:12, John records Jesus' own words. Then spoke Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. This is a positive, positive turn of events. This is where we all wish to be with our families, walking in the light, looking at Jesus Christ, his example. He is our bright light. Let's talk about, so we talked about the Bible. That is the light, a light unto our path while we're here on this earth. We talked about Jesus Christ, that he is our light. He is our salvation. We know that darkness is going to hate the light. So people hated Jesus. We know that they crucified him. Now, let's talk about our responsibility as Christians. We are called to be the light of the world. Let's read what Jesus says in Matthew. It's recorded. Matthew, St. Matthew recorded Jesus' words in chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. This is what is recorded. You are the light of the world. This is Jesus talking to the people listening to him. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. You are the light of the world, Jesus says. Jesus says, we are the light of the world. This is not an option. This is not a choice. We are called to be the light. Your family is called to be the light in your neighborhood, in your church, in your children's school, on the baseball team, on the soccer field. Are you being a light? Jesus did not say, if you want to be a light, or if you think you can be a light, or who'd like to be a light? Please, may I see a raise of your hands? Or you have the potential to be a light. He said, you are the light. Everyone who has trusted Christ for salvation and is born again, sincerely, genuinely, truly, honestly, you are the light of the world. Let's all start living that way. You want to know why I want all of us to start living that way? Because if my family is the light of the world, and your family is the light of the world, and his and hers and his and hers, we will be an enormous bonfire that the darkness can and will never be able to extinguish. That is very exciting to me. Let's continue with what Jesus also said. In Matthew 5:14, he's telling the disciples and the Christians, we just went over this, that you are the light of the world. As light, we are to illuminate or make visible. Our lives are to be an ongoing witness to the reality of Jesus Christ's presence in our lives. Listen, if we are darkness, if we are crusty, if we are angry and mean and we stay to ourselves, how are we being a light? How are we showing Christ's light projecting, coming out of our pores? When we worship God with pure hearts, when we love others as ourselves, which the Bible calls us to do, and when we do good without growing weary, this is when our light is shining. It is so important, however, to know that it is not our light, but it is the reflection of the light of the Word, of the light of Jesus Christ. It's the reflection of his light. It's the reflection of God and his Word. That is what they're going to see in us. And let me tell you something. Be of good cheer and be excited and be thankful, because when people hate us and they hate the light that is inside of us, they are really not hating you, they are hating Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ that they hate, and they see him in your life and in your family's life. When you're excluded, when you feel persecuted, when you feel like your children aren't being invited to certain parties and they're not invited to certain events, is it because they know that you are pure and that you will not enjoy that activity? I hope it is. I hope that they're saying, oh, we can't invite her to see that movie because it's filled with X, Y, and Z, and they know it's filled with darkness. They don't care if their kids view the darkness, but they know that you're a fabulous parent and a fabulous grandparent, and you don't want your children being exposed to that darkness. You have a light living inside of your children and in your family's home. How exciting is that? Let me talk about voting, because we are all voting in the next few days. How can we be a light in our government? How can we be a light when we go to vote at the polls? Do you know that as Christians, we are called to be a light in all of society? You are not to compartmentalize and say, oh, voting doesn't belong to God. Voting doesn't belong to Christ. That's my own little piece that I'm not going to allow him to be a part of. I want you to listen to something, and then I want you to think about if Christians are doing their job and being the light of the world today in politics. Okay, today, 4,000. Today, this very day, okay, this Friday in October, 4,000 innocent babies have had their lives snuffed out, and 300,000 pulpits across the United States of America will probably be silent about this on Sunday. I want you to see if your priest or pastor talks about the 4,000 babies' lives that are snuffed out each and every day, and yes, even today. Let's talk about the television networks that make such a mockery of Christians and of our faith that we hold so sacred. They make fun of our Christian values. And I ask you again, 300,000 pulpits will be silent this Sunday. Let's talk about violence, sexual immorality, perversion of every kind that have become very standard in television, movies, radios. And again, 300,000 pulpits are going to sit silently this Sunday. Teenage suicide is at the highest rate that it has ever been. Rape has increased 700%. 300,000 pulpits will remain silent this Sunday. Rock and rap fill our airways and the minds of our children with lyrics that legitimize and glorify rape and murder. Forced sex, sodomy, and every other kind of evil. And 3,000 pulpits will be silent this Sunday. Are our pastors and priests really equipping families to be the light of the world? Is this what our Father's world is supposed to look like? I ask you, what are we doing to shed light in all of these areas in the 21st century? It is a mandate. We are called to vote as Jesus Christ would vote this coming Tuesday on Election Day. I want you to hear my voice going through your brain waves when you are making a decision to vote. You should be voting and being a light and voting pro-life. You should be voting and being a light and voting pro-family. You should be voting and being a light and connecting with how Jesus Christ would be voting for freedom of religion. So think about that and go to Pennsylvania Family Institute, find their website and check out. They have all the homework done for you. You can identify which candidates are being a light and running for office and are being a light in Harrisburg. So that is what I urge you to do. Don't omit that part of your life from where we are called to be the light of the world. Do you know that once upon a time in the 1800s, Christians owned every one of the newspapers in this country? I wonder how many newspapers Christians own today. Where's our Christian perspective? Where's our light of the world? Where's the all of the articles that I would love to be reading about Christianity? Newspapers need to be owned, and radio stations like this one and television stations, we need to take that ground back and be a light there for our community and our society. But I'm digressing a little bit. Let's get back into God's word. Let's go back to his Bible, his love letter to us, and see what else he has to say about light. In Philippians 2:15, the Apostle Paul says this to us, "Believers, you are to shine as light in the world." The Greek word used here is very similar to the word for the beacon that a lighthouse emits. Understand, remember, when the Bible was written, the authors were using parables and stories and words that everyone could relate to. Everyone back in the day could relate to being the light. The sun sheds light on things. Fire sheds light on things. We are to be that light. This was a great analogy for the early Christians listening in the first and second centuries. Light, the beacon, is bright and unmistakable in its purpose, right? It warns us of danger. It directs us to a safe harbor. We already talked about this earlier in our hour together. It provides hope for those who have lost their hope. Every day, you and I are surrounded by people groping. They are groping around in darkness. They don't make sense. They don't know what they're doing. They're 30, 40, 50, 60 years old. My heart breaks for them. They don't know where they are going. They have such a sense of darkness and hopelessness. They are separated from a God who loves them and wants to adore them and wants to provide them with light and hope. God uses you and me. Do you understand that? He uses you and me, and he uses our families to be the beacons. He uses your family and my family to be the lighthouse, to point people to Jesus Christ. That is our number one purpose here. Our number one purpose with our families is not to get them into Ivy League schools, not to make a ton of money, not to be the number one tennis player, not to do our bucket list and travel all around the world. Our number one purpose in this life is to be a light for our community and direct people to God. So let's talk about our family objectives today. We want to be a 100-watt light bulb. You do not want your family to be running on 25 dim lights, okay? We want to be a bright 100-watt light bulb. This is my recommendation for all of us today. I want you to sit down with your family tonight and come up with a family mission statement. Pick a verse. Pick one that has light in it, which will remind your children and even memorize it with them, that your family is supposed to be a lighthouse in their community. You can let your children draw pictures of lighthouses or light bulbs as reminders if they're really young children. And put this on your refrigerator, that your family's mission statement, you are working together as a team to be a bright light for Jesus Christ. So today I would like to just close in prayer. Usually I start off my 1 hour with you all in prayer, but instead today I prefer that I am going to close in prayer with you all. So if you would just join me. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this fabulous morning that you've given to us, and we pray, Heavenly Father, that hearts that were listening today would be turned to you, that we would all want to be bright lights, that we would not want to hide our light under a basket where it is hidden, that we would want to be bold and bright and really make a difference in our schools, in our churches, in our neighborhood. We pray that when persecution comes, when the darkness hates the light that is inside of us, that we would continue to be bold and at peace, knowing that you are always with us. In your precious and holy name, we do pray. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. Have a fabulous week. Thank you for joining me here, Carla Dedessi at Your Family Matters. Remember to follow me at carladedessi.com. I want you to enjoy this song called This Little Light of Mine, I'm Going to Let It Shine. I'm sure you remember singing this in Sunday school. And please stick around for Nancy Hansen from Capstone Legacy Foundation.
Area School District Minithon Committee is kicking off their campaign with a little competition. The students are going wild for the teachers who are willing to ham it up and kiss a pig. Each of the teachers participating who receives at least $150 in his or her piggy bank will be puckering up and kissing a pig on October 30th. All of the money raised is going to the Four Diamonds Fund to help find a cure for childhood cancer. To find out more about this event, please visit the Why Missing Area School District website. For the kids!
The Apostle Paul proclaimed in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that we must not be sorrowful and without hope like those around us when friends and family who die in Christ go to live with him in glory. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. In fact, we should not only not sorrow like others who have no hope, we should look forward with great anticipation to the rapture of the church when Christ himself will descend in the clouds and all those who know Jesus Christ as Savior will hear the unmistakable sound of the archangel's trumpet. Then in that glorious moment, in a twinkling of an eye, all those who having died in Christ will be raised from the graves, and we who are alive will meet our loved ones in the air with our Lord, and together will live with him forever and ever. I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network saying, now this is real biblical hope and change that you can count on. Do you have that living hope?
Join the Pennsylvania Pastors Network at papastors.net.
Hi again. It's Nancy Houston Hansen of Capstone Legacy Foundation, and I have with me Merle Steiner, who is our legal consultant here and our in-house counsel and the person who helps us make sure that everybody gets exactly what they think when they open a fund with Capstone Legacy Foundation. Capstone Legacy Foundation has basically been created for the people in Delaware Valley, Montgomery County, and other areas of our region to really help them understand, help you all understand what we have available for people who really have a heart and passion to give and want to set up a fund that they can put the funds into with the security that they're going to be held for the things that they want to give to that particularly are supportive of Christian endeavors, services that support the community and help to build the community, that have the values and ethics and the things that are really going to help promote better community spirit, health care, but particularly to help people understand that there's a God who loves you, there's a God who has given his life through his Son for you to have life and have it abundantly, to give us the power, person, and work of the Holy Spirit to come within us, to teach us, to direct us, to help us to know how we can leave the world a better place because of his power, because of his love, because of what he gives to us. Merle and I both share a conviction for the power, person, work of the Holy Spirit of the living God through Christ and what he did for us on the cross and what he's done for you as well. If you've come to know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, then we are there to help you carry out the heart and the desire that Lord has placed on you. If you haven't had that commitment, there is no greater time to think about what it can mean and how God can change your life and really bring the peace, comfort, and power of his presence into your life by receiving him. One of the things that he's put on our hearts and our lives is to really provide an opportunity for people to put things that God has blessed them with into a place where they can grow it, where they have the ability to know it's being kept safe for them. And we call people who are givers donors. And basically, that's people who have a heart and passion to see the community grow in the things that are going to support the work of Jesus Christ. So if you hear us use the word donor, it's basically meaning the word giver. And we have funds available for people to be able to develop something that would be similar to a private foundation or a private fund that would enable them to grow it and to give it out. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. And I'm talking with Merle about some of the things that people can do and they can give. And the difference if you set up a fund that's a public fund or versus having a private family foundation. So that's going to be our discussion for today, and welcome, Merle.
Good morning. One of the things that is very important in considering giving or your charitable planning process for your estate is how you title your assets. And the type of fund that we're going to be talking about today, the Donor Advised Fund, is a good way to make sure that the way in which your assets are given or planned takes care of the titling. Once you give to a donor advised fund, the fund, the assets are titled to Capstone, and Capstone can then follow your wishes in meeting your charitable plan giving. And, of course, your wishes would be in accord with Capstone's purposes from a legal standpoint. So we would have to make sure when you set up your donor-advised fund and did your charitable planning for your estate that you understood Capstone's charitable purpose, and we'll be glad to go over that with you, some of which Nancy has just gone over with you. Now, if you set up a donor-advised fund, you can get a tax deduction of up to 50% of the adjusted gross income of your giving. That's in comparison to a tax deduction of up to 30% of adjusted gross income if you set up a private family foundation instead of creating a donor-advised fund at Capstone. So you have a higher tax deduction limit. This is the limit on year's giving. Of course, your whole donation to your donor-advised fund is tax-exempt. The only question is the extent to which you give and whether that bumps up against one of these limits on adjusted gross income giving in a given year. Of course, you can carry forward your giving or your...
if you exceed those numbers.
If you exceed those numbers, right.
So it can be a carry forward to another. I was just thinking too, Merle, one of the things we're talking about a time of year when people really are looking at the fact that they want to give, number one, but they're also trying to figure out how to minimize their income taxes. And the one thing about when you do open a donor advised fund, you have an immediate tax deduction, as Merle was telling you. And so you can take the tax deduction right now in this current year, and then you can give later. That's the neat thing about having a fund like this, because people don't always know exactly what they want to give to, or they have money that's come in at the end of the year. Sometimes it's through a bonus, sometimes it's through a legacy that's been given to them through the passing of a loved one. It can come through a variety of ways, but it gives you an instant opportunity to put it into a tax-deductible vehicle that you can then have the joy of praying through, thinking through, and giving later. So that's one of the blessings.
And yes, and there's no requirement to distribute out of your donor-advised fund in any given year, even the current year. Whereas if you set up a private family foundation, the foundation must distribute at least 5% of the corpus each year. So this is what Nancy is talking about. There's no requirement to recommend grants from your donor-advised fund to charities in the current year. It can be carried over many years.
You know, we've had some ministries that are underneath a Capstone, which we'll talk about another time, but they've had the opportunity to have people come and give significant funding to them. And you may be one of those people that have thought about giving more to either a church or a ministry where you're just not sure that you want to put it all out at the same time, but you have a certain set amount of money that could be used in that direction. That's a good time to open a donor advised fund. You get your tax deduction. You also get an opportunity to set up an account, and you have a description on that account of what it is you want to give to and why. And that helps us guide us as to what your thoughts are, what your heart is, and how we can be helpful in you doing that. And then the idea is, as long as that ministry or church or whatever function or thing that you're trying to support is viable and able to continue, you can continue giving year for year. But if anything happens to that, then you still have money left in the account to do something else. Also, I think it's important to understand that we have a commitment to your desire, and that is we are committed to what we call donor intent. When you tell us what you want to give to, and that's something that is really on your heart and spirit, if something goes wrong there in that particular ministry to which you want to support, we can also help find another one that would be similar to that, because we do have an opportunity to know a lot of ministries that are out there, And that's one of the benefits we have too, Merle. We can vet out ministries. If somebody isn't totally sure that they can do what they've been told they can do, we can help them with that. We have a lot of really interesting back office services that we give.
Yes, and the fund, the Donor Advised Fund, can be established in a single day with a simple document. And the Capstone Legacy Foundation funds work with professional money managers and the board of directors providing experienced oversight. A donor can retain their own financial advisor for their donor advised fund if the fund is greater than a certain amount, in this example, $50,000. So if you have your own financial advisor, you can bring him or her along and give advice to the donor advised fund assets for the period prior to the granting out of monies from the donor advised fund. Capstone has an experienced board and staff. They can provide expertise to donors on a wide range of gift management, finance, and fund administration issues. If you set up your own private foundation, it would take considerable amount of time, effort, expense, and you would have to hire a staff or board members to carry out administrative tasks on their own. Another thing that is valuable in setting up a donor advised fund at Capstone is that we conduct an independent audit each year, publish an annual report. There's public disclosure of grants, and thoughtful selection of board members ensures the funds are used in the community's best interests.
Yeah, I think another thing that a lot of people may feel, particularly with some of the new emphases that are coming down in our community, where people would rather be anonymous in giving rather than to be more open. And when you go through a private foundation, nothing's private because it all has to be out in the open as to what people have given and so forth. But if you go through a public foundation, people can name what their fund is. You can name it a personal foundation. You can name it to be in the name of your favorite pet. You can name it to be something that has been a very significant thing in Scripture that you want to have. It can resonate with what you want to give to. But the idea is that under Capstone, that does not have to be publicly known as to who is giving to what. There can be the anonymity because you are in a public foundation. So for people who want to be not to be dunned by a lot of outside services, realizing that you're giving to them when they see it, it can go out privately and anonymously through us. So that's something. One of the things, too, about setting up a foundation in a community organization is it saves you time. Legal costs, because Merle does a lot of those things here for our clients. Tax filing, as he's just talked about, and administrative hassle. So we talk about the fact that we take out all the compliances, the complexities, and just give you the fun of giving. Right, Merle?
Yes, that's right.
Some of the things that people don't always think of giving is they can give pieces of real estate. It's called non-liquid assets. And if they have something that they're not using and they've kind of wondered what to do with, it can be people, even in apartments. We have somebody we're working with who has apartments that are under lease, but they also have some part of that they own. And that can be put into Capstone with a note, right? You can do that.
Yes, that's right.
And there are some very interesting tax consequences that can go along with that. A closely held business interest as an S-Corp stock or C-Corporation stock, LLC interests or limited partner interests can be put in. Is that right, Merle?
Yes, that's right. There are some limits on the amount of your adjusted gross income, as we've talked about before, for donations of stock that are publicly traded or closely held. You get a tax deduction of 100% of the fair market value, but if that exceeds 30% of your AGI, your adjusted gross income in the current year, you're limited to that, and you will have to carry forward any tax deduction that remains.
But you can't carry it forward. That's a good thing.
That's right, and that's true of real estate, too. You have a tax deduction of 100% of the fair market value of the real estate, but again, in any given year, it's limited to a percentage of your adjusted gross income. with the carry forward possibility. So,
but it also eliminates capital gains. If they have bought a property at a certain price and it's appreciated over time, instead of having to factor that into income tax, it automatically eliminates that because you're going into a 501c3, right?
Yes, and that raises a very important point that if you're considering donating the value of real estate or a gift to a 501c3, a charity like Capstone, or your donor-advised fund, you should remember that if you sell the property and give a cash gift from the property, you will have to pay taxes on that capital appreciation. But if instead you donate the property and it's later sold, then the full fair market value of that property is counted as a tax deduction and goes to your charitable purpose.
Yeah, one of the things we did, I think we had somebody who wanted to open a donor advised fund after they'd sold their business. And the thing that, as an example, is if they had wanted to give 10% or they'd wanted to give 20%, it reduces the tax on the sale, right? Because it is brought into Capstone and then we become a deeded part of that sale. We go to the sale with the business owner, and that automatically takes that off the taxable part of the sale. It then goes directly into a fund that they then have the privilege of being able to give back to the community. If you sell the company first, then you pay the total amount of taxes, and then out of that you put money towards your 501c3, so you've lost the opportunity to take advantage of that, right?
Yes, that's right. That's a very important point. And those kind of pitfalls can be avoided if you simply sit down with someone at Capstone or one of our charitable plan giving experts and talk over your purposes, what you're planning in terms of what you wanted, how you want your estate to be planned and what you want to give to one or more of your children. You can avoid these very serious pitfalls that really reduce the amount that you can give to your charitable purpose or the amount that you leave for a given person in your estate. Another of these pitfalls is a common one is for a parent to open a bank checking and savings account in a joint tenancy with a child, and in that way, when the parent dies, the child has full control and ownership of the amount in that checking and or savings account. This may defeat the very purpose that parent had in creating a will, wanting the will to be the primary dispositive instrument of the estate plan, and having a percentage go to charitable purposes, but instead, with this joint tenancy of this checking account, the money will go not according to the will, but according to the checking account instrument. So there are very serious pitfalls that need to be avoided, and we'll be glad to sit down and talk with you about those kind of pitfalls in your estate planning.
Yeah, I think one of the things that we really have here is the opportunity to create customized services for people who have a variety of things that would like to do, and maybe no simple one thing fits all. But we have what we call customized solutions for ministries, for individual givers. They're just a whole bevy of kind of things that, to me, get very exciting when we realize how we can help people, even sometime with notes. We'll be talking about that as time goes on. But if we have interested you in some of the things we've talked about, please feel free to call Capstone at their office at 610-688-8890. You can talk to myself, Merle, or Tom Kaiser. Any of us are here to serve you. Find out more about us and what we can do to help you and the tools that we have. Until then, we hope that God will give you support and will bless your living legacy. Capstone Legacy Foundation is your solution for tax-efficient charitable giving. We are located in Wayne, Pennsylvania. It is a Christian community foundation and has a 501c3.
Capstone offers a wide variety of charitable giving tools and solutions for donors and givers in the Northeast Corridor and throughout the United States. Our website is at www.capstonelegacy.org, and you can find on our website much of the information that we've given you today.
And more.
And more, yes, that's right.
And we're located at 900 West Valley Road, Suite 203, Wayne, Pennsylvania. Once again, our phone number is 610-688-8890. God bless you and your living legacy.